day with our outward ears. May through your grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. When reading through a work of literature, at times we may get the main plot and think we understand the main drift of the story. And then all of a sudden, we come to a part and we say to ourselves, what does this have to do with the rest of what I've just been reading? It could be that the main thrust we have mostly right, but then our ideas of what the main plot is might need some tweaking and some minor adjustment. Even if we guess the main part of the story correctly, we must still ask ourselves the question, how does this fit into the main plot? I think you should have asked that question this morning, because today's reading, both of them, kind of violent. If you put them on the screen, it would definitely be rated R. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, in remembering John the Baptist's death, why did Mark place these details of John the Baptist's death into this gospel? Much in each of the gospel accounts make a lot of sense with the overall purpose of the gospels being a record of the life and ministry of Jesus. It's easy, for example, to understand the teachings of Christ and the parables, and the Sermon on the Mount, as well as the miracles and how that fits into the overall pattern of telling the story of Christ's life. But again, we come to today's lesson, and you have to admit, my brain shuts off when the executioner goes to the jail cell. It just shuts off because you don't want to think about that. Well, we have to, again, explore how does this fit in with the gospel? We've left John the Baptist back in Mark chapter 1, the last time he was mentioned, in Mark 1:14, which says, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God." And so here we are 5 chapters later, and John's still in custody. He's in jail. And the remembrance of John the Baptist is given in Mark 6, verse 16, when Herod hears of Jesus' miracles and mighty works, and he reasons wrongly that Jesus is John the Baptist risen from the dead. These preliminary reasons why John the Baptist was remembered in this gospel are only preliminary reasons. But these reasons, I don't think, get to the substance of why Mark puts this incident in his gospel. So I want to get there. First, I believe John the Baptist's death is to show that John was a faithful forerunner and messenger announcing the coming of Messiah. John the Baptizer is in the last of the line of faithful prophets of the Old Covenant period, proclaiming the Messiah to come, and the urging people to prepare for Messiah's coming by repenting of their sins. What makes John's ministry unique is that the rest of the Old Testament prophets were prophesying about a Messiah who was far off in the future. John is contemporary with Jesus, and so Jesus is there even while John is preaching. And in fact, John points out Jesus as Messiah to his own followers. For in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist points to the Lord Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And so John's twofold mission was to preach a message of repentance and to identify the Messiah. It was John's faithfulness as a prophet and messenger of the Lord that got him into trouble with Herod and his wife, because he was saying to Herod that Herod taking Herodias, his brother's wife, while his brother was still alive, was not right. You can talk about repenting of sin in general and never get into trouble. It's when you start going into the details where you say specifically, that's sin and you need to knock it off. That's what got John into trouble. Mark chapter 6, 17 and 18 says, "For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" This is what initially caused John to be put in prison. And the reading for today tells the rest of the story of how John was put to death. He spoke of the truth of God's word to a person in power and suffered for what he said. John was executed for his faithful prophetic witness and stands in company with many other Old Testament prophets of the Old Testament era who suffered the same type of treatment. From our Old Testament and other comments of the Lord Jesus about John the Baptist recorded in the New Testament, there are striking parallels and comparisons between John the Baptist and Elijah. Our Lord said about John the Baptist that John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 14, Jesus says this about Elijah and John the Baptist. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come." John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And I'm about to show you some more similarities between Elijah and John the Baptist, but there were some important differences as well. The Lord wrought a cluster of miracles through the ministry of Elijah, but John the Baptist had no miracles recorded with his ministry. The Lord brings about miracles when and where he chooses. Another important distinction between the two men is that John the Baptist was executed due to his message to Herod, but Elijah was not sentenced to execution. Although Jezebel wanted to, it didn't happen. And so many times Jezebel wanted Elijah dead and threatened him with execution, but that never came to be. Let me now draw some more comparisons between John the Baptist and Elijah. Both prophets came into conflict with a person in power, and both men of God came up against a king and their wife, who the wives in these two readings were more vehement in their resistance and hatred to the prophet than the actual kings were. But both King Ahab and King Herod were conflicted between going along with what their spouse wanted to do and the tug they felt either from the people listening to the prophet or what they thought what was right to do in this situation. And although there was a conflict within both King Herod and King Ahab, eventually they went along and consented to their wives' wicked schemes against these prophets. So we remember John because of his faithfulness as a messenger of the Lord, his faithfulness and courage that sent him to his execution. Secondly, John the Baptist is remembered because his death points forward to the Lord's death and the death of all righteous martyrs who are to follow in the Lord's steps. While Jesus' death had a unique purpose of reconciling and making atonement for sinners, and making us right with God. Yet John the Baptist's death and the death of all the righteous martyrs are ones in which, because they are united to Christ and live out their highest loyalty to the Lord, they suffer for righteousness' sake. There have always been faithful prophets of the Lord and God's faithful people who declare God's judgment upon sinful human pride and wickedness and suffer the consequences for their faithful witness. And although we don't know this personally in our presence right now, throughout the world, people are being put to death in gruesome ways because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I want us to continue to pray for the persecuted church throughout the world. It is real. And John the Baptist's death is a testimony in history that this conflict still rages on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. In Matthew chapter 17, Moses and Elijah appear to the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And after this happened and Moses and Elijah went away, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And then he answered and said, "Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Mark leaves no doubt that John the Baptist was a righteous and faithful witness to the Lord. And the kingdom of which he spoke and the forgiveness of sins that he offered through the Messiah were real and true. Mark, in writing this account of John the Baptist's death, is looking beyond the tension of himself, King Herod, and Herodias. He is also looking beyond the conflict between the Lord Jesus, the religious leaders, and Pilate. I think Mark is also including the fact that he is writing to small Christian communities who are facing persecution because of their allegiance to Jesus as King and Messiah. These Christian churches were willing to accept hardship for the sake of righteousness, and they knew first and foremost their allegiance to God and to seek to obey God's will and not the whim and wishes of Caesar. In remembering John's death, it is a direct application of our Lord's words on the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." One day God's kingdom will overcome the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Rome and Greece, to our present day kingdoms and democracies, and Christ will reign forever and ever. We long rightly for that day to come when God's justice and righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so having a story like this, as violent as it is, and on the one hand as tragic as it is, Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is encouraging us and prodding us to faithful witness in the vibrant hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and the renewal of all things that he will bring about. Christ will usher in a new heavens and a new earth, and the resurrection of all God's people will take place on that last day and bring about a new community of God's people, the heavenly Jerusalem, who will no longer be conflicted between doing good and our conflicts with the world, the flesh, and the devil. In God's final kingdom, in new heavens and new earth, will dwell only righteousness and true holiness. To that great day we look forward and we wait patiently as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we remember John's death as our Lord's death and even the righteous martyrs' deaths, we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we remember this day your servant John the Baptist, who with faithfulness to your word and gospel withstood the injustice of Herod and rebuked him openly, even at the cost of his own life. Grant, we pray, that we would have a holy boldness and courage, so that we would openly profess our faith in loyal obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord and divine master, in whose holy name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand singing of hymn 359.